Let's welcome our guest. Thank you, announcer. Well, she's so hot that stockings are hung on her with care. After 3 long years, I'm here tonight with Fox News Channel anchor Julie Banderas.
Well,
if brains were the hustle, we'd all do him at a disco. It's Nick Gillespie, Reason.tv and Reason.com's editor-in-chief, looking handsome. And he's also the author of Declaration of Independence, a great book. I read it myself. And his hallucinations even can't stand him. It's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. And if comedic genius were snow angels, we'd do him on the ground in the wintertime. Sitting right next to me, comedian Joe DeRosa. His latest comedy CD is called Return of the Son of Depression Auction.
Wow.
It's like you took a random word generator and just threw all the words in to come up with a title for your album. And he gets wrapped around trout as subscriptions run out. It's our New York Times correspondent. Good to see you again, Pinch.
This weekend in the Times Magazine, Pat Jordan profiles a team of, quote, Dixie Ghostbusters in South Carolina who document paranormal activity for their clients. Not to editorialize, but I worry about how the Confederate Army poltergeist will react to the black Ghostbuster. That's all.
Well, that's an interesting point you make.
Thank you.
All right, then. Is he out of touch for wagering too much? Well, if only there were another word for remorse that rhymes with bet. That's probably what Mitt Romney feels after offering a Texas-sized wager to Rick Perry during Saturday's GOP debatey.
I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
You know what? You've raised that before, Rick, and you're simply wrong.
It was true then.
No.
It's true now.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
I'm not in the betting business.
Okay.
Should have bet a collection of bottle caps. Yeah. On Sunday, the former Massachusetts governor responded to criticism from fellow candidates and Democrats alike that he's out of touch.
This was an outrageous number to answer an outrageous charge from him, and it's been proven wrong time and time again. He keeps raising it, and I said, okay, let's put something outrageous out there. It's like saying, hey, I'll bet you $1 million, X, Y, or Z. Afterwards, my wife came up and she said, Mitt, it was a great debate. You're great at a lot of things, just not betting.
I didn't realize he had 4 heads. Well, you know, it's not a joke. Newt Gingrich's proposal for a permanent lunar colony. If only Romney would get on board.
We could start with his idea to have a lunar colony that would mine minerals from the moon. I'm not in favor of spending that kind of money to do that.
Newt really is a rocket ship. For more, we go to Red Eye senior political correspondent, Death Metal Donkey, DMD. He knows what's going to happen in 2012. He is not happy. Nick, welcome to the program. In your mind, who won the debate? America? Hawaii?
I think the Soviet Union was the clear winner. It's, you know, when you look at the way these guys talk to each other and what they come up with, it's no wonder that nobody wants to vote for a Republican.
Well, the wager was dumb, but is it really going to hurt Mitt?
I don't think so. I think what's going to hurt Mitt Romney is that he created the prototype of Obamacare and then can't actually defend it. Both of these guys were talking about, I'm going to run on my leadership. And it's so Mitt Romney was a one-term governor who chose not to run for re-election because of things that he had done, and he wanted to get on with being president, which didn't work out. Gingrich got kicked out by his own party and has $300,000 in ethics violations trailing him around. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd run on somebody else's record if I were them.
You are certainly Debbie Downer. Julie, welcome back to the program. It's been 3.5 years.
Something like that.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure you watched the debate home with your children.
Oh, yeah, no. I was glued.
Yeah. What is your take on all of this? Is this just a non-story or a story?
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, $10,000, $1 million. I bet someone $1 million I'd never come back on this show.
That is true.
I am not dishing out $1 million tonight.
Exactly.
I bet him $10 he wouldn't shower. I will collect on that $10. But as far as him throwing that out there, I don't think that people literally believe that. Yeah. First of all, you don't need him to throw out, I'm going to pay $10,000 on this bet to make everybody believe that this man's got money. I don't think it's necessarily going to shift the, ooh, this guy's loaded.
Yeah. It was what every guy does.
We
I'll
know
bet you
about
10 grand.
Him.
That's what it was. It was harmless. Joe, your brand of political humor is really taking off among the youth. I wanted to be the first to congratulate you on that. Thanks. Was this bet a bad thing? Lighten up on this guy. Why do you hate him so much?
I wish it was real. I wish the bet was real. I wish he was off his rocker. You know what I mean? Because that means he's like a wild man. Like, hey, Perry, take this crossbow. If you can shoot this Pepsi can off my head, I'll tap out of the race. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, you would enjoy that. You would enjoy that.
I do like the way that rocker, Rick Perry, looked like he was in his Sunday best and he had just come from church school, like with his hair plastered down. Yeah. And he was like,
this is coming from you, Nick.
Yes. Sorry.
That hair. I've known you for a couple years. Your hair does not move.
Not unless I tell it to.
Exactly.
And by the way, it can kill you.
So yes.
Don't get the hair.
It's
angry.
A collection of alien forces on his head. Bill, is Mitt also in a way out of touch with billionaires because the wager was just too small for them?
Exactly. He's neither the poor nor the uber rich.
Yes.
Like Julie.
Yes.
I will couple takeaways from this debate as a man who likes to take things away.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to strike from the record the phrase career politician. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about that anymore. Stop using it. Perry laughs like some sort of herky-jerky animal, almost very W. He's kind of doing this a lot with the shoulder shaky thing. And finally, last I checked, it's illegal to bet. That was not cool. That is not a good thing for our nation's youth. But I will say it has made me rethink Mormonism.
Yes.
They can kind of rock.
And I really respect your stance on illegal behavior, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
You only knew what he's been doing in the garage for the past hour.
Working on my cars.
A couple of little newt things before we move on. He did get an endorsement from Gary Busey. Right.
Who has never met him before.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. That's
They've never met him.
But he saw him.
A Google search before the show. I had no
Very good.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the, brain damage, rehab-addled celebrity vote locked up now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Why is he not moderating the debate instead of Trump? That would be a ratings winner.
That's a great
Why are all of you got snakes coming out of your ears right now? We'll go to Mitt first.
Yeah, he was hoping to get an endorsement from the Gabor sisters, but from the R.I.P. Gabor sisters.
Yeah.
You know, from the Gabor sisters.
Joe, like I said, your brand of political humor is really taking off among you. I want to just, before I move on, the other thing, too, is I really think that building a lunar colony, what is wrong with that?
That's a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea.
It gets us on the moon.
This is why Gary Busey endorsed him.
Wait, it's on the moon?
Yeah. Don't they collect
I thought that it was like somewhere in...
You thought it was an amusement park.
Yes.
Lunar colony.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a lunar colony that's worked out well?
But that, should you quit because no one's done it before? I mean, that's kind of a loser attitude.
If we'd agreed to get along with the Navi rather than exploit their resources in Avatar.
We don't even have money to send astronauts on the moon.
Yeah.
Why in the world?
Well, if you build the colony, then people will want to go, and then you get investment.
Point.
Can we just stop to acknowledge Bill's bomb on the Avatar bit that he just threw out there?
No.
Look, just because the Gabor sisters thing fell flat, don't project on me, sir.
I didn't even hear it. So
the Avatar bit?
No, I didn't.
It was delivered with such a lack of humor that you thought he was slipping in a fat.
It's not my fault you chose the Gabor sisters. Don't take this out on me.
My high point, can I just, before we move on, can I just show my favorite moment of the debate? It's a photo. Here it is. Look at Newt. Newt looks like a very hungry turtle upset, who's just identified a grape, little frozen grape, and he's going to leap forward in kind of a very fast fashion and gobble it up and then return back to his cave.
You know what? He looks like Benny Hill right before they do the super fast motion scene.
Yes.
He's like getting ready to start running.
We've done enough.
Now, he took a no adultery pledge this year.
Oh, yeah. That was before because he was happy.
From quips to ships. Protest, more like port test. See what I did there, Joe? That's comedy.
Yeah.
Yes, West Coast occupiers are taking their wines to the waterfront. On Monday, in a coordinated effort, demonstrators in a bunch of cities like Portland, Seattle, San Diego, and Los Angeles marched to the ports and attempted to shut down the docks in a show of opposition to corporate profits. said one, quote, U.S. ports have become economic engines for the elite. Sure they have, you D-bag. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, NYU's Department of Social and Cultural Analysis, whatever that is, announced students can take a class on Occupy Wall Street. Yes, a master's in moaning. Said the professor, quote again, the movement has done all of us the service of illuminating the fact that the economy operates within the framework of political, social, and cultural conflicts and not outside them. Translation, I have no real talent. So will the Occupy protests lead to real change in the U.S.? And what about in Britain?
It's been around a long time. And as a result, it does take quite a long time to make change, even with the best will in the world.
I like it.
That was the best moment of the show. I could watch that again. Julie, smart tactic by the protesters to alienate people who actually work for a living.
They're alienating the 99%. The only people that they're serving are themselves, because the longshoremen and the truckers who they're trying to push out of these ports, they're not the 1% of this country. So they're not able to go to their jobs because of the people that are supposedly fighting for them. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Joe, you worked as a longshoreman for over 30 years. Right. How do you think they're receiving the occupiers?
I dated a longshoreman. Sure. Yes. You're getting this
what
confused
was his name?
Again. Rex.
That's the kind of improv I've come to know and respect from you.
Rex.
Rex is a funny name. No, I couldn't agree with you more. This is a classic case of cutting off the nose to spite the face. It does not get more blue collar than a dock worker and jeopardize and penalize these people to support their own. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's absurd. Mm-hmm. Also, too, I don't know what kind of David and Goliath effect they think this is going to have, like cutting off these profits for one day.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything. You know, it'd be like if you stopped buying licorice underwear for a day.
Yes.
The industry would notice.
Yeah, that is true.
But I am one of the collapse.
Yes. Greg. Yes. I would collapse. That's a protest I will never take part in because I love my licorice underwear. Yeah. And you know, I don't just wear it, I eat it. That's my motto. Nick, do you think there's actually any real solidarity with the longshoremen? I like when you take these scraggly-headed academics and they talk to somebody like a longshoreman, is there any other connection besides maybe they're liberal or what?
No, I don't think so. And I had a whole Thurston Howell III bit that is gone now with the longshoremen. I mean, shouldn't they be blocking cruise ships maybe instead of, you know, guys taking gaffs off and crates of whiskey or something like that.
Yeah.
There's no solidarity. The last time that hippies and longshoremen got together is when longshoremen were beating them in the early 70s.
So, and by the way, we all cheered them on during that.
I mean, it's all false consciousness.
I
mean, the longshoremen have nothing to do with a bunch of kids who are complaining about having to pay really high student loans. You know, this is just
they're looking for cachet from the working man who wants nothing to do with it. Bill, you lived in a shipping container from 97 to 99, so you know something about ports.
I do know something about ports. I know something about protesting, and let me tell you what these guys are protesting. I got this friend named Tommy. Now, Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike. It's getting kind of tough. So tough. Half the time, Greg, I feel like he and Gina are just living on a prayer. That's what these people are fighting for.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
What's up, Tommy? Go to bed. It's late.
Here's my theory. Shouldn't they start small rather than going after a port? Shouldn't Occupy Wall Street surround a lemonade stand and just start screaming
at children?
Yeah, children. Yeah. Don't you think that would work?
I think they should. They might as well attack the children.
Yes, exactly.
Why are they attacking them? They should protest outside all our schools. Daycares, preschools.
Exactly.
They should protest on Central Park South. There's something that they could do. Horses are dying. There is something to protest.
That is something worthwhile to protest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I'm just trying to give them some ideas. They seem to be running out, so I want to help.
Thank you.
I just
want
to help.
All right, from seaports to airports. Do security drones need chaperones? Is it chaperones?
Chaperones.
Never really said
you wear chaps.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
See, I had a store called Chaperones.
Yes.
Which were,
I remember.
It was a half chaps, half pasta, delicious, you know, diet, you know, meals.
Uh-huh.
So you could have the chaperones, which was a big bowl of pasta inside your chaps.
Yeah. I liked getting the beefaroni there.
Yes, you did. Well, a couple of New York lawmakers think so. We don't remember what we were talking about. And are calling for a passenger advocate. to follow up on customers' complaints over security screenings. Senator Charles Schumer and State Senator Michael, never heard of him, Gianaris, want the TSA to create the position at all airports. The move comes on the heels of several elderly women complaining of intrusive pat-downs in the last couple of months. Explained Gianaris, I appreciate the TSA's work to keep air passengers safe, but passengers should not be humiliated and degraded during their travels. Speak for yourself. For more on this story, let's go to our travel correspondent, Clumsy the Panda, for analysis. What do you got for a CDP? Get what you pay for. Nick, here's the deal. Do you deal with troubled bureaucracy by adding more bureaucracy?
No, it's proven every time. It works all the time. And to have a hotline that goes directly to the people who are feeling up your grandma, sure, that'll be problem solved.
Yeah.
Can we move on to the next thing?
Yeah. Julie, if these women are to be believed, which I think, I mean, I don't know why an elderly woman would make up this crap.
Wouldn't somebody have noticed, though? I mean, an elderly woman being strip searched. Just an elderly woman naked.
Wouldn't it be in a
private room? At an airport.
But wasn't it in a private room?
I think it was in a private room.
They usually have windows.
Open your mind.
I got to tell you. It's a semi-private.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying. I think that there are usually witnesses. But they still, I think they crossed the
line. Has it happened to you at all, intrusive?
Like five times.
Yes, five times.
Really?
Yeah, but I asked the witnesses to stand back. I'm married. I have a kid now. I don't get a lot of action. So I love flying.
You just love flying.
I just love the airport.
Bill, not only do you not travel, but I'm pretty sure you don't know what a plane is.
No.
Should I skip you?
You can, but you'd be missing an amazing point. They're basically just hiring more TSA agents, except these guys are a conduit to the people. It's just another TSA agent that they can go and complain to. It's a fleshy complaint box. It's gonna make things worse, if not better.
Weren't you a fleshy complaint box for a while?
Yes, but look, you know what? I got tips that way.
I agree with what you're saying, and I think this is just expanding a problem here. There's too much security at the airport.
Yes.
Pointless.
Wait till something happens. You're going to change
passengers them. Need an advocate. They have spokespeople that are constantly coming out and speaking on behalf of the airlines. I think passengers should have an advocate.
There's quickly. Too much of it, though. My point is that when you have too much of this, you can't supply it appropriately, and they're just going to put more incompetent people into these positions, just like they have incompetent people at the security checks.
All right, we got to take a break.
Tell it.
Not all of them.
I've met
some
everybody.
Lovely TSA people. Call me. All right, coming up, why do men constantly stare at hot women? We discussed Julie Bandera's new book. I don't know, but I wish you would stop because you're creeping me out, Mr. Gibson.
Wow,
that was a highly personal title. But first, what's Alec Baldwin up to now? Oh, about 300 pounds. Has Alec Baldwin gotten the last laugh by actually getting the last laugh? The short-fused fuzzball made a cameo on this weekend's Saturday Night Live to lampoon his recent forced exit from an American Airlines flight for refusing to stop playing a mobile phone game. Specifically, the angry A-lister focused on the pilot. Take a look, people with eyes!
It was very important for me to come here tonight and on behalf of everyone at American Airlines issue an apology to Mr. Alec Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin is an American treasure. I am ashamed at the way he was treated. I mean, what harm would it do to let him keep playing his game? Not any game, mind you, but a word game for smart people.
Southern accent was an original touch. Meanwhile, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, yes, they exist and they are delightful, are calling for Alec to be on the AA's no-fly list and demanding that the company stop airing episodes of 30 Rock on their flight. That's kind of hardcore. Explain to spokesman, quote, "We're very upset. He was very malicious and slanderous towards crew members in his comments." Which begs the question, can Yoga Cat do downward facing dog? In my state, thank you very much. What is this country coming to? Julie, does a semi-funny appearance on a semi-funny show change the fact that Alec was a jerk?
No, but it doesn't change the fact that the airlines, I think, are a little tough on people, a little too tough. I mean, I think he does make one good point, whether you believe that he should have cut off his game or not. If these phones could actually take down planes, they shouldn't be allowed on in the first place. Right. And they're going to constantly have people that are on their cell phones or Blackberries or iPhones or whatever till the very last second. So then just ban them and stop complaining about celebrities who like to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I guess
I'm tired of hearing all the complaints from the airlines.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think he's being a jerk, Joe. And I think he just called Lorne Michaels up and set it up the way famous friends do things, right? So whenever you get screwed, you don't have the luxury of calling up Lorne Michaels, do you? You can call me.
No, I have to. Yeah, I can't even call you. I have to resort to Bill usually. No, I don't think he's being a jerk. I thought it was funny. Well, I mean, one thing, I think Alec Baldwin should just stay away from phones, period. They just get in trouble.
Good point.
But, I mean, you know, I think he's got a fair point. They're sitting at the gate. It's not going anywhere. He's playing a game. It's a stewardess on a power trip. It's annoying, you know?
Boy, all you guys are so anti-airlines. Nick, wouldn't it have been better if on the skit he made fun of his own behavior, which was fairly infantile for a grown man to slam a bathroom door, as opposed to pretending to be a pilot with a lame Southern accent?
How did he slam the bathroom door? Because wasn't he sitting in his seat?
He got up.
He got up.
He got up, yeah. You didn't
very
connect
complicated.
That.
Yeah, no, I didn't really.
Yes.
You know, I don't get to see first class much. I usually enter through the luggage container.
Yes.
But I'm with the people who say, you know what, enough with these super bossy flight attendants, male or female. We know that these phones don't have anything to do with the
There's
navigation
airplane
system.
Mode on the phones. If there was an airplane mode,
even
what's the difference?
But,
you're allowed
but even
to use
that.
Them
like,
in the air. What's the difference?
Yeah. No, it's
on the ground.
You know? No. You don't want people on planes talking on their phones. It's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, but no, only during takeoff.
He wasn't talking.
Who cares?
Yeah, but that's the next step. If you say it's okay to have phones, people are going to be talking.
You must get, like, free peanuts or something.
I do get free peanuts.
I would rather have the person in the center seat talking on their phone than me.
I've never seen somebody actually
have you ever gotten a good conversation on a plane?
I've seen somebody actually try to make a phone call on their cell phone while I'm 30,000 feet in the air.
You can't do it like this. These are fingers.
What you just said, it's the classic example of what we're talking about here, and it calls back to the security story. Once you say they can do this, then they're going to do that. It's got to be all or nothing. There is no individual responsibility when it comes to things like this anymore. A grown man can play words with friends while sitting at the gate, okay? If he's talking and he's not allowed to talk, then don't talk.
And then, but then you don't think it's at all strange that an incredibly famous person gets up and throws a tantrum and runs to the bathroom and he's in his mid-50s?
I mean, look. I throw tantrums.
You do. I've been there. I've had to change you a number of times.
When you're in your mid-50s,
change my pants joke for your sake, and then you made it.
I just think that flight attendants are upset that nobody in the past 25 years, even after 9/11, has, when they say you have to look up here for an important safety announcement, nobody pays any attention.
They're bitter.
I mean, I'm reading Sky Mall, and I'm thinking about, you know, what about that inflatable wedge that you can sleep on? Yeah. It seems like a good idea.
All right,
somebody has a subscription to Sky Mall.
By the way, it's so not a Sky Mall. There's no place you can go in the sky. I fell for that. Actually, you know what? One time I was really drunk on a plane, and I bought like an incredibly expensive stereo on Sky Mall. Sky Mall, 90% of all purchases are based on drunks. They're going, I'll get that. And you do that. And I did that using a US Air phone in the thing. And that phone you could use.
Yeah.
You could use that phone.
Yeah.
And I did use that phone. And I bought, and
Sucker.
When I got out there it was.
Sucker.
Anyway, why am I yelling about this? Do you have a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeyefoxnews.com. And leave a voicemail on my direct line, 212-462-5050. Still to come, the halftime report from TV's Andy Levy. Jerk. Welcome back. Let's find out if we've got anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
All right.
Good. I'm going to jump right in because I have a lot.
Oh, please do.
GOP debate. Nick, you said what's going to hurt Mitt Romney is that he can't defend Romney care. I actually like the way he defended it in the debate. He said, quote, the states can do whatever the heck they want. I think that's an interesting reading of the Constitution.
It is, but I don't like the profanity coming from a presidential candidate like that.
That's a good point. You would think he would know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a good substitution for heck?
Do you need a substitution?
H-E double hockey sticks.
I thought the whole point of heck was that it was a substitution.
No, H-E half an O something.
Yeah.
Julie, I agree with you that the bet shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
Except that it's been decided that it's a big deal, so now it has to be a big deal.
For all those that want to pick on someone like Romney.
Exactly.
When there's not much to talk about other than his personality and his hair.
Yep. Yeah. By the way, Rick Perry's net worth just under $3 million, so he probably could have afforded to take the bet.
He could have bet a lot more than $10,000. I actually think Romney's cheap. Now, after this, that's what I learned.
Well, his problem is he bet either, he should have bet a lot less or a lot more.
Right.
Yeah. He should have bet $10 or $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been fine.
Cheapskate.
Yeah. Bill, you said the bet makes you want to rethink Mormonism, but you should know that the Church of Latter-day Saints is very strongly opposed to gambling.
Then they're very strongly opposed to Mitt.
I think they're very strongly opposed to you.
Oh, come on, Andy!
Then again, what religion isn't?
Oh, really? The 1-2 punch? Jeez.
Wow.
Move on.
The thing I do think is really going to hurt Romney is his opposition to Gingrich's plan for the massive new program to build a permanent lunar colony. To me, this is a real example of how out of touch Romney is. How many people would love to work on the moon?
Yes.
And he just dismisses it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need a job. What does he care?
Yeah. And these are new jobs, jobs we didn't have before.
No.
Think about all the old jobs we've lost, the people that have been replaced by ATMs.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now they can go work on the moon.
This is what I'm saying.
Have bank tellers become crater diggers.
Have you guys seen the movie Moon? Not all it's cracked up to be.
Wow.
You find out you're there by yourself, but ooh, there's a closet full of you, clones.
Yeah.
Your computer sounds like Kevin Spacey, you go crazy.
The thing is, it works out fine until you discover it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along those points, Nick, you asked if there'd ever been a lunar colony that has worked out well. How about Heinlein's The Moon is a Horse Mistress?
Okay.
Right. Wow, that's easy.
Yeah.
Also, you could argue that 2001 ended well.
No, it didn't.
Or you could argue that
it did. The feel-good comedy of the season.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I understand.
2001.
What's your problem, Joe?
I never saw 2001. Don't say the ending, please.
Is
I just got
the
really
where the
spoiler
space
alert for a movie that came out in 1969.
No.
Really, Joe?
Bruce Willis is a ghost.
I don't know.
Wow, unbelievable.
Don't say it.
Occupy Wall Street stuff, aka the licorice underwear story. Joe and Julie, you both brought up the fact that by disrupting the ports, the occupiers are actually hurting blue-collar workers, which is true. But couldn't you say the same thing about anything they protest? What about the assistants or the janitors who work on Wall Street?
Well, I said that very thing on this very show.
Did you?
About that very point, Andy.
Just now, tonight?
Weeks ago.
Well, had I talked about this 3.5 years ago, the last time I was on the show, I would also have brought up the fact that the subway workers and the Occupy, you know, the subways, that was a bit of a problem. And Metro North Railroads don't necessarily pay millions of dollars to the conductors.
But the point is, any industry that you're going to protest, you're going to harm.
You're going to annoy more than 99% than the rich people that are sitting in their offices.
Right. But does that mean you don't protest anything?
No, yes. I think you have every right to protest, but just be mindful of who you're actually disrupting, which is your own people.
I like listening to Julie talk about the subway traffic being impeded.
I took the subway 3.5 years ago. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it was a meatball one.
The right, Andy, of course, you have the right to protest. It's pointless, though. Just don't do it. Just never do it. It's pointless.
It's a stupid freedom.
It is. It's pointless.
It is.
It's not going to do anything.
Maybe too much freedom.
Yeah,
I know. By the way, you guys never really talked about the course that's going to be taught next year.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Yeah. I got to read this quote from this professor of sociology at Columbia University. He says, quote, OWS as a topic of study offers prismatic opportunities to consider the changing shape of inequality in our society and the dynamic processes of repertoire change in social movements globally, from the picket line to the sit-in to the consideration of life course trajectories, among other themes central to the sociological apprehension of the modern context.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so for those of you who thought this course would be worthless, I think you just
other than pure anti-intellectualism, what's wrong with that? The only thing wrong with that description is that it doesn't include the Tea Party because the professor is ideologically opposed to the Tea Party.
But you know what?
All it's saying is that it gives you a lot of opportunities to talk about the ways in which people are upset or feel like society's gotten out of hand.
Right, but I think the point is,
I'd
Nick,
sign up for that class.
Why not say it the way you just did?
Yeah. Well, you got me there, Bob.
Can I agree with you, though? That I
no, you absolutely
that I think
cannot.
This
is my point.
I think this class
is a great thing. I think it's wonderful that there's finally going to be a college course that actually inspires the kids and teaches them how to be lazy, do-nothing pieces of crap.
Yeah. Isn't that your alma mater there, Andy? Or should I say
NYU? NYU now.
I thought Columbia was the professor.
That professor was from Columbia. He was speaking of the NYU course.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll say it one more time, America.
Bill didn't go to college.
Get out of my square. This is my square.
Center square.
FaceTime.
Should there be passenger advocates at airports? Greg, you read this quote from New York State Senator Michael Giannaris. He said, I appreciate the TSA's work to keep air passengers safe, but passengers should not be humiliated and degraded during their travels. And you said, speak for yourself?
Yes.
To clarify, the senator was referring to people being humiliated and degraded against their will, so you would still be fine.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I apologize then. Yeah. Profusely.
All right. Nick, you're opposed to this because you think it would just add another layer of bureaucracy. And Bill, as you pointed out, this would just be hiring another TSA person. What if the passenger's advocate wasn't a TSA employee?
Mm. Well, who are they going to be then?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a recent congressional report on TSA. We spent $57 billion since 9/11 on TSA.
Right.
And everybody, with the exception of the TSA people, agree that they've done virtually nothing to prevent the next 9/11.
How do they know that, though?
Okay, well, no, two ways. One is that the 9/11, the threat of that ended when they reinforced cockpit doors so planes can't be commandeered the way that they were.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, all of the high-profile attempts to take down a plane, it was passengers beating the hell out of people like it was Bill on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with the screening.
But you could still blow up a plane without getting into the cockpit. You could remember the shoe bomber.
And who got rid of the shoe bomber? Who got rid of the underwear bomber, if we can talk about underwear on this show.
Well, and the point is this, too. They caught them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They caught them. Why are they adding another layer of security every time they catch somebody?
No, but Joe, Nick's point is they didn't catch them. Both of those guys got on the plane.
Well,
I'm saying TSA didn't catch them. And then passengers, once they got on the plane, the passengers acted.
I mean, we're still taking our shoes off. We're still, not being able to show gels and liquids and lotions.
No.
We haven't been allowed to wear underwear on planes for like 3 years
and
now,
Nick,
is it?
Nick, I got to have my lotion.
That's right.
Speaking of lotion, how did you know that I got beat up last night? He was wearing a leather coat, Andrew.
An educated guess.
SNL brings on Alec Baldwin. First of all, I don't know for sure. My guess is that Baldwin gets residuals when 30 Rock episodes are played on American Airlines flight. So I don't really blame the union, the flight attendants union, for wanting it banned because he's making money from it.
That's a good point.
Julie, you said the airlines are a little too tough with people, and Joe, you said this was just a stewardess on a power trip. First of all, don't say stewardess.
But they're airline attendants, whatever.
More importantly, it's easy to blame them for something like this, but all they're doing is enforcing federal law. The federal law may well be stupid. I think it is. But they don't get to choose. They don't get to say, oh, this federal law is stupid. I'm not going to enforce it.
Don't tell me that you don't think that when an airline stewardess or attendant sees a celebrity on there, they're not going to try to make a name for themselves every once in a while?
I don't think so. I think, if anything, celebrities probably get better treatment.
No, I agree with that.
Julie, it's never happened to me.
Wait, Andy, are you absolving all the cogs in the machine of any responsibility?
Yes, I am, Nick.
Well,
you are a cogist.
He's actually pro-cog.
Oh,
Andy, you're right. The flight attendants. What is wrong?
Why do you people hate these people?
I know. He said, "Don't say stewardess."
Well, because it's sexist.
If the flight crew doesn't enforce federal law, who gets in? Then the flight crew could get in trouble.
But I'm agreeing with you when I say you're right. You're right. The flight attendants are adhering to law. But it's just like if you go to McDonald's and your buddy gives you free French fries. It's like, are you technically not upholding the law? Sure, of course. Are you in some way breaking it? Yeah, whatever. Does anybody care? No. It's irrelevant. It's stupid. Sit there, play your game. It's not hurting
anybody. Difference between a federal law and giving somebody French fries,
I can't tell you how sick I am of being surrounded by all those federal agents on the airplanes.
All right, we gotta go. Lastly, Greg, I just want to say I have no fear about people making phone calls on airplanes. I can't even get reception in my apartment.
That is true.
I'm really not worried about it.
God knows I've tried to call you. All right, go away. Coming up, Ryan Seacrest is dead. Tired of celebrity news, serious journalism was always his calling. Mm. I think you already knew that. But first, Is New Year's Eve the greatest movie in the history of movies? If you even have to ask, then you'll never understand, you classless jerk. Well, it's nice to see excellence in filmmaking rewarded. Yes, acclaimed indie movie, New Year's Eve, ruled the box office in its opening weekend. The flick raked in $13.7 million, beating out The Sitter, Twilight, and something called The Muppets. I want to go to Andy. Andy, you were there first when it came to discussing New Year's Eve.
I was.
How do you explain its popularity?
Yeah, Greg, thank you for recognizing that I was there first. I would like to say that back in September, I think it was September 28th, I tweeted, "Oh, great, Satan is now making movies," with a link to the trailer.
Yes.
I believe I was the first person to recognize this movie. Basically, I'm like a canary in a coal mine. An excellent Ramon song, by the way.
That is true. Off London Calling.
I have to correct you on one quick thing. You said the movie made $13.7 million. That's actually been downgraded to $13 million. I think this can be explained one of two ways. One, either all the families of the cast went to see it.
Yes.
Or did you see that story about the woman in Italy who left her cat $13 million?
Yes.
I think the cat blew it all.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, Andy, we don't have much time, so quickly I want to go to you, Joe. During the break, you told me you cried during the movie.
Only when it was over.
Oh.
I needed more of that good stuff.
I know.
Not since the Cannonball Run films have I seen such a cluster bang of of marginally talented folks.
Julie, did you see the movie yet?
What movie?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good answer. Yeah. Actually, it's not a movie in your life. It is your life. You have millions of gorgeous friends that populate your life like a New Year's Eve film.
Oh, there's a New Year's Eve movie?
Yes.
Yeah, she thought you said Summer's Eve.
I've got about 30 seconds. Nick, I think they're called ensemble movies, movies. Aren't they the greatest kind of filmmaking? Because then you don't have to see a lot of films to see all your stars. You can see them in one spot.
I always thought ensemble was French for big stain that you can't get out of the couch.
I don't know.
Which kind of describes this movie.
Yeah, very good way to do that. Bill, you've already seen the film four times. Does it get better and better with each viewing?
You notice subtleties. There's like lots of different plot points. There's a surprise ending, or should I say endings? Spoiler alert. Should have said it beforehand. it is a, I don't use these three words very much, but tour de force.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, three-word review.
I believe that is a Canadian word.
Yes, it is. Right.
We gotta take a break. More stuff when we return. My quads are sore, but also it's Frank Sinatra's birthday. Well, technically it was last night, but let's pretend. So we thought, why not welcome back the man who knows old Green Eyes better than anyone, the super talented Robert Davi. He just released his take on the crooner's classic Christmas song, Mistletoe and Holly, and it's for a good cause. Robert, where does the money go to this? That's for so we can get people to go buy this.
Yes, go right now. It started today, December 13th. It's called Mistletoe Tuesday until the January 1st. All the proceeds will go to the Salvation Army.
Yes.
And so you can go to iTunes and Amazon and download the Robert Davi version of Mistletoe and Holly, which is different than the Sinatra version in that Sinatra was a slow version. This is a Billy May kind of very swinging, upbeat version of that song. And there are 5,000 communities across the country and a lot of people in need.
Yes.
And here it is. Unfortunately, I'll never get the press Alec Baldwin did for twittering.
Yes.
And for playing that game, which is what's wrong with media today.
Well, you've got to throw a tantrum, and while you're throwing a tantrum, hold the CD up on the plane so that people tape it with their phones.
You know, Greg, I've asked my publicist, I says, well, you know, how do we get this thing moving? He actually said, well, create an incident. You've got to do something dastardly.
Yes.
I says, you're kidding me. He says, yeah. So I think that could have been partly a publicity thing.
Well, you know what? Here's an idea. You could savagely beat a host's sidekick, probably in New York City after this show. Just savagely beat him.
Well, wait a minute. What if we did it now? The YouTube hits, it would be amazing.
It would be.
Download now. Download now.
I got a better idea. What? Let's do lines of cocaine off the CD. Not for press. I just think that's something we should do.
That's terrible.
About doing it on a plane?
Yeah. What a great Christmas idea. You know what's great? I love the Salvation Army because it's an army. But they don't have guns.
No guns. They have bells and kettles.
Yes.
And I got to tell you a quick story. And I do know you have quite a, you know, congratulations on the ratings, beating all those other networks in prime time.
Yes.
And I know you've got a lot of listeners out there. And I'm appealing to you, please help us with this Mistletoe and Holly. The army of Greg Greg Gutfeld fans and Red Eye fans, please get that download and show. I want to show the, you know, the other, some of the other people that it does matter here. The my grandfather was a bootlegger.
Yeah.
With Marshall Field and Joseph P. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. This was during Prohibition, a Neapolitan immigrant, and he had given that life up before Prohibition ended because my grandmother and the danger to the, you know, what it was. And he wasn't like a moonshine guy. Yeah. He was big liquor things, big money. He had apartment buildings in Astoria, in Jamaica, Queens, in Manhattan, beauty parlors. He lost all his money during Prohibition, after Prohibition, during the Depression. And he used to take me to Macy's or JCPenney's or mm-hmm. E.J. Corvette during the Christmas holidays when I was a kid. And you'd always see a bell ringer out there with the kettle, and he'd put in his quarter or his nickel or his buck, because he lived with my mom and dad. And he would say to me one time, he says, I want you to help these people if you ever can. He says, because when your mother was little and I lost everything, they helped me.
Oh, see, that's a good story. Not about doing coke on a CD.
I'm wearing a Salvation Army original right now, Greg.
All right, I got to move on. Where can people see you perform?
Vegas, the Venetian, February 23rd, 24th, 25th.
Awesome. You got to check him out. He's got a marvelous voice. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, download the song. It's Mistletoe and
Holly.
And Holly.
Mistletoe and Holly.
Those are two ladies I met a couple years ago.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they're in the green room waiting for you.
Yes. They've got to be in their 50s by now. Oh, my God. Coming up tomorrow on the next Red Eye, return appearances from Dana Vachon, Shibani Yoshi, and Joe DeVito. Time to go back to TV's Andy Levy for the post-game wrap-up. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Joe DeVito, two nights in a row?
No, this is... Andy, this is Joe DeRosa. I know how you can get confused.
Seriously?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Huh. Although one is hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't wait to see him tomorrow.
No, tune in tomorrow, folks.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, has Reason Magazine turned into PBS or something?
Yeah, we're actually running. I hate to turn this into a begging show, but Reason.com, which is published by a nonprofit, we're running our annual webathon, tax-deductible donations. If you like what Reason Magazine and the Declaration of Independence stands for, please go to Reason.com and give until it hurts, and then really start giving.